Well, I like that true story of when Bob Hope went to the nursing home. He did a stand-up comedy routine at the nursing home, and afterwards he was meeting some of the residents there, and he walked up to a sweet little old lady and said, "Hi, do you know who I am?" And she says, "No, Sonny, but if you ask the nurse, she could help you." Well, in today's gospel, Jesus says, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And then he turns to the disciples and says, "And who do you say that I am?" Well, the Lord asked this question to the disciples. Jesus here, he takes the first Gallup poll in history. He says, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" Notice the response. 33% say you're Elijah, come back to life. 33% say you're John the Baptist, come back to life. 33% say you're one of the prophets, come back to life. Notice they all got it wrong. The crowds had gotten it wrong. They did not truly know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. They thought he was a prophet, a man who had come to teach them, perhaps to be some sort of a teacher or a political ruler. So the crowds had gotten it wrong. And so then Jesus turns to them and says, "Now who do you say that I am?" And there was dead silence. And then one voice rang out with the truth. And that was St. Peter, the first pope. And he said, in Matthew's gospel, which is the fuller explanation of this passage, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John. No mere man has revealed this to you. It was my heavenly Father that revealed this to you." So Jesus told him that, yes, Peter, you are right. But it's not because of your brilliance that you thought that up. It was because it was revealed to you, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Father revealed to you this truth that I, Jesus, am not just a mere man. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter got it right, not because of his own ability, but because it was revealed to him by the Heavenly Father, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this is a good example of what we would call papal infallibility, where God would not allow Peter to speak something erroneous. Speaking there as head of the church on an issue of faith and morals, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit at that moment. And so Peter says, "Yes, you are right." And it was inspired by the Holy Spirit that you came up with this truth. And then Jesus goes on to explain to Peter and the apostles what kind of Messiah he would be. Remember, Peter said, "You are the Christ," which means the anointed one, the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah that the chosen people have been waiting for thousands of years. But then Jesus explains what kind of Messiah he was going to be. And this is when the apostles were not happy, because he didn't say, "I'm going to come and kick out the Romans and going to overthrow Rome and free you politically." He didn't say that. He said, I, the Messiah, will be rejected by the chief priests, the scribes, the leaders of the people. And we know Jesus said to them that he would be, scourged and mocked, and then he would be killed. He would be crucified. But he said, "On the third day, I will be raised up." So Jesus says, this is the kind of Messiah I'm going to be. I'm going to be opening the gates of heaven. I'm going to be paying the price for the sins of the world. I will be the suffering servant of Isaiah, as we heard in that first reading. "I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting." That's the kind of Messiah that Jesus said he would be. Well, this was a terrible shock. And now Peter, not speaking inspired by the Holy Spirit, but speaking on his own, with his own sinfulness, begins to take Jesus aside and rebukes him and said, "No, we will not let you be that kind of Messiah. We won't let you go to Jerusalem and die on the cross. We won't let that happen." So Peter tried to stop God's plan. And Jesus then turned on him and he called him Satan. He called him Satan. See, this is a good example of how Peter, without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was not teaching the truth. He was trying to lead Jesus away from the Father's plan. And so Jesus has to call him Satan and say, "Get behind me, Satan." The reason why he called him Satan is because Peter was doing the same thing that the devil had tried to do after Christ was 40 days in the desert. Remember, after 40 days in the desert, the devil appeared to him and he told Christ, "Oh, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. Just send a legion of angels and you can throw yourself off the temple and they'll catch you. And if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms." See, the devil was trying to stop Christ from going to the cross. And that's what Peter was trying to do. But Peter had good intentions. He loved Christ. He loved him deeply. But Jesus says, "You're not thinking as God does. You're thinking in a human way." And isn't that what we do a lot in our own lives, right? Do we look at something from God's perspective? Or do we look at something from the world's perspective? In a natural way? In a human way? We need to always be looking from God's eyes, at God's perspective, at every situation. And oftentimes the crosses that the world would say, "Oh, get rid of that cross. You try to run away from the cross." That's what the world would say. But God would say, "No, take up your cross every day and follow in my footsteps." So Peter was trying to take the Lord away from suffering, away from the cross. And Peter, of course, was just trying to do what he thought was right. But he was doing Satan's work and not God's work. God's plan was to have Christ die on the cross, to open the gates of heaven and to redeem the world. So we should ask ourselves this question. When we're faced with crosses or trials or tribulations in life, do we look at it from God's perspective? Or do we look at it from the way of the world? The way of the world will always tell us, "Oh, get rid of that cross. Try to move away from it." But Jesus says, "Come after me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me." And lastly, I think what we can take from this gospel is the fact that there were many voices in those days when Jesus was preaching. And the crowd had gotten it wrong. Jesus says, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" Notice they had gotten it wrong. So there are many voices in our society today too. Perhaps some of the media, secular society, maybe even friends. What voices are you listening to when it comes to the truth, on issues of faith and morals, when it comes to just who Jesus is? If we're smart, we'll listen to the voice that rang out inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that was the voice of Peter, the first pope, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is why we as Catholics follow the Church and the magisterium of the Church and our Holy Father. The Holy Father is the 265th successor of St. Peter. We don't follow the Pope, the Vicar of Christ, because he's a man, and some of the saints have been great sinners, some of them have been great saints. Just like Peter here, without the Holy Spirit, he was doing Satan's work, trying to lead Jesus away from the cross. But what we do follow as Catholics is the Holy Father, when he speaks, of course, as Pope, as head of the Church, on issues of faith and morals, he is protected by the Holy Spirit never to teach error. Speaking as Pope to the whole Church on issues of faith and morals. And that is a great gift that we have of papal infallibility. Even though some of the popes have been saints, some of them have been sinners, even the sinful popes have never taught error, have never taught falsehood. They've always been protected by the Holy Spirit in teaching the truth on issues of faith and morals. So when we look at society, we can ask ourselves, what voices are we listening to when it comes to the truth? Are we looking to a secular paper? Are we looking to the media, to TV, to radio? What are we listening to for the truth? If we're smart, we will follow the one appointed by Christ, His vicar on earth. And when it comes to these issues of faith and morals, we submit our mind and heart to the teachings of Christ and the church. So when it comes to the question, who do you say that I am? If Jesus were to ask you tonight, who do you say that I am? What would you answer? I think all of us, of course, in this church would answer, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. As one author said, it's not enough just to know what others say about Christ. You must know and understand and accept for yourself that He is your Lord, your Messiah, your God. You must move from curiosity to commitment, from admiration to adoration. If Jesus were to ask you this question, how would you answer? Is He your Lord and Messiah? And I do hope and pray, I think each one of us in this church today would say, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.